Welcome to Engage Boise. We hope that you enjoy this live recording of our Sunday service.
Man, we are so privileged today to have our network superintendent, Pastor Joel Wendland, with us. He drove all the way from Payette today. We scheduled this a little while ago. I saw him on Thursday, and he said he was coming even if it snowed. So he left a long time ago to get here on time. This is my pastor, the pastor of our network, and we are so blessed to have him speaking this morning. So those of you that are here and online, I expect you to yell at your TV. Would you give Pastor Joel a big hand as he comes to speak to us this morning?
Praise the Lord. Hey, it's good to be here today. We're dry. We're warm. Life is good. So, yeah, we drove all the way from Payette this morning. We had 8 inches of snow in Payette. I have a 45-foot driveway. Cleaned that all off this morning and then hopped in our car and we came. But we're glad to be here. We were determined to be here today. And so were you. So we're glad that you're here today. God bless you. I love your pastors. You guys have one of the strongest pastoral teams in our network. Pastor John, every time I talk to him, I'm so amazed at the giftings that God has given to your pastor. And every time he's faced with something, he handles it so well with integrity. He's got great vision for this church. You guys are blessed to have him. And then there's Chase. And then... I love Chase, love Wendy, love Olga, love Joey, all your staff. You guys have an excellent staff here. So happy to have you guys as a part of our network. We love you and appreciate you so much. Hey, I wanted to share a little bit. Pastor John never told me what time I had to be done today, so that's going to be fun for you. I have a portion of scripture I want to look at. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 is a scripture we're looking at today. But there's been a scripture that's been on my heart. It's actually 1 Chronicles 16:12, which says this: "Remember the wonders that he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings that he has given." Three things that we need to remember. We need to remember the first of all, the wonders, that the amazing things that God has done in our lives. Are you remembering the amazing things God's done for you? Man, he's done some not just normal things. Not just run-of-the-mill things. God has done some amazing things for you. God has done some great things, good things for you. And also God has brought challenges your way. Those three things are really found in that passage. And sometimes it's good for us to take a step back and remember. And I'm talking today about actually the opposite of remembering, which is forgetting. But since it's forget not, it kind of is remembering. So I want to challenge us today that God has got a purpose for us to pause in our life, in our season, and remember the great things that God has done for us. Because I believe if you don't remember the great things God has done for you, you can't believe God for the great things he wants to do through you. So you have to pause and you have to remember. So we're looking at today Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I'm talking about being thankful for his benefits today. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, and it says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." They could make a song off of that. I'm just saying. Actually, they have. Okay, all right. Verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives you of all your iniquities, who heals you of all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed by the eagles." Father, today we want to pause, and Lord, we want to again invite you into this moment. Father, that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. Lord, we need to hear from you. And as we break the bread of life together today, Father, I pray that we would press in to receive the good things that you prepared for us today. God, I pray that we would be reminded today of all the good things that you have prepared for those that love you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, David is writing this psalm kind of at the twilight of his life. So this is a reflective moment. As you get older, I think today's my birthday. So I'm getting older today. And yeah, I know I was depressed about it too. But it's the way it is. No, as we get older, it's a good time to reflect. It's a good time for us to remember the good things that God has done. And so this psalm comes from a heart. that's looking back. And so I think it's important for us to think about that and consider that as he opens the word, he actually challenges them to do two things at the opening. He says, number one, bless the Lord, O my soul. The first thing David tells himself to do is to bless the Lord. Now, guys, when things are good, it's easy to bless the Lord. When things are bad, it's a little more challenging. But we need to tell ourselves, we need to encourage ourselves that we need to bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be in our mouths today. Bless the Lord. And David says this, bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, I don't know about you, if you guys watch football or not. Some of you do. I'm a Chiefs fan, okay? I know. Kansas City, Canada and I pastored in South Dakota for 13 years. We were 6 hours away from Arrowhead Stadium, and we watched Kansas City Chiefs football every weekend. So I'm not just a newcomer to the team, to the franchise. I've been a fan for a long time. And I can tell you, as I was watching the recap, because I couldn't afford to watch the game live, because they're charging you for it in every kind of venue you can imagine, I was watching it, and I get excited. When I watch football, I get pretty animated. So if you're one of those people that watches football and gets animated, I'm the guy that you want in the party with you, because I am right there with you. Like when someone makes a touchdown, I am on my feet, jumping up and down, screaming. When they make an interception, I'm like amazed and dumbfounded and upset. But every part of me is into that. Guys, I should worship God more than I watch a football game. I should be more into my commitment to Jesus than I am to my commitment to an NFL football team. Guys, we need to worship the Lord. We need to bless the Lord with everything that we have. No holding back. Look, I know that there's things going on in our lives. I know my mind goes six ways to Sunday sometimes when I'm in worship. But the Lord has challenged us, bless the Lord, O my soul. Tell yourself you need to bless the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. Because when I don't feel like it and I start blessing the Lord, God realigns me to where I should be. He changes my heart. When I begin to worship him and when I begin to bless him, God changes me and puts me in a better position to receive what he has for me. So bless the Lord. That's the first thing he says. The second thing David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We need to see God's blessings, but we need to not forget his benefits. God has done some amazing things for us. You know, the older I get, the easier it is to forget. Have you noticed that? So I walk into a room now, and I can't tell you why I'm there. You ever happen to you? Like I have to make lists for everything now. I used to go to the grocery store. Tana would say, this is what we need at the grocery store. She'd list them off, and they were just all here, right? Like, if I have more than three things to get at the grocery store, if I don't write it down, I guarantee you I'm missing one of those things. Because I'll be walking through the store hoping that I'll stumble across the last thing that I was supposed to get at the grocery store. Because forgetting's pretty easy, right? And God here is challenging us to remember. So how do we cause ourselves to remember the great things that God has done? Well, I think we remember by practicing what's important and why it matters. By rehearsing. So the way you remember is you rehearse the good things. If you don't rehearse the good things, you're not going to remember the good things. So I was a junior Bible quizzer. Do you guys know about junior Bible quiz? I was a junior Bible quiz. Matter of fact, I was the 96th person in the country to get my master seal in junior Bible quiz as a sixth grader. So I was in the top 100 students. I thought that's pretty cool back in the day. And I used to memorize all the Bible fact pack, and then I went on to senior Bible quiz. And in senior Bible quiz, I memorized verses and chapters of the Bible. Tanda's father, his requirement to give her hand in marriage to me was that I would have memorized the Gospel of John. Now, when I studied the Gospel of John in high school, and I had the first eight chapters memorized, okay? He didn't make me quote the whole book. So when I got through like a good part of chapter one, he's like, that's good enough. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I couldn't have got through the whole thing. I bluffed my way through the Gospel of John. But I remember the way that I learned that amount of scripture. By the way, it's hard to not only memorize scripture, but to retain all of it. So I was good at memorizing short-term, but remembering it long-term. Do you know the way that I remembered long-term is that I would rehearse it over and over and over again. This was before iTunes. This was before CDs. This is when we had cassette tapes, okay? We had the Bible on cassette tape, and I would listen to the Bible on cassette tape over and over and over again. Matter of fact, James Earl Jones was the person who read the Bible to me. Now, it's a little unusual to have Darth Vader read the Bible to you. I find your lack of faith disturbing. Okay, got it. I'm changing that right now. But I listen to it over and over again. Guys, God doesn't want us to forget. He wants us to remember. So the way you remember is you rehearse over and over again the good things that God has done. Because if you don't, you're going to lose it. So I just want to encourage you, do that today. Think about and remember what God has done for you. So what are the benefits of the Lord? He says, be thankful for the benefits. So what are they? There's actually five benefits listed in this passage that I want you to look at today. Five things that God wants you to remember about him. The first thing is this. Our God is a God who forgives. Isn't that the best thing to remember about God? No matter how much you mess up in life, God forgives you. No matter how many times you could have gone and done the right thing, but you did the wrong thing instead, our God is a God who forgives all of your iniquity. And the word all there is important for us to understand. God doesn't forgive some of your things and hold the rest of it over you. The scripture says this, God forgives all of your iniquity, all of the sinful things you've done. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All the sin that we have calls us to fall short. But yet, what did God do? He forgave us. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to eternal life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, did you catch that? If we confess our sins, he is faithful. In other words, God will do what he says he does. And he's just, he's right in doing so. When God forgives us, which he's faithful to do, he's also right in forgiving you of all your sin. You know, sometimes we look at God and say, God, how could you forgive me one more time? How could you do it one more time, Lord? I messed up again. I'm here to say the scripture says he forgives all. What Satan always wants to remind you about your past and your failures. When Satan wants to remind you about your failures, please remind him of his future. Right? God has great things in store for you. Don't let your past, don't let your sin, don't let your mistakes hamper you from being who God's called you to be. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I love that picture because it says your sins are blotted out, where you can't see him anymore. There's just where it was written out what you did, it's just a big blot now. It's just a big stain. Can't read it anymore. Have you ever done that? You ever sat down and you wrote something and then you didn't quite turn out right, so you scribble over it so nobody can read what you wrote? You ever do that? I always happen to do that on like a birthday card or something. I'm like, I'd write too fast, and then I'll write something, and I'll like scribble it out so they can't read what it was. That's what God does with your sin. It's like he takes, when you ask him to forgive you, he scribbles over it. You can't read it anymore. You can't even make out what it was. And then, after he blots out your sin, the scripture says this, then the times of refreshing come. Don't you want to be refreshed? Instead of being carrying the weight of the sin and the wrong things you've done, over and over again, being depressed about what a failure you feel like you are because you can't get it right. Don't you want that to be blotted out? And don't you want God to just to refresh you? The refreshing comes only after the forgiveness. So when you ask God to forgive you, that's when he'll refresh you. That's when he'll renew you. Secondly, second benefit is this. He's a God who heals all our diseases. Our God is a God who heals today. Man, when we get sick, we need to pray and ask God to heal us. Now, in America today, we're more apt to reach to our medicine cabinet first and maybe pray later. That's just kind of what we train ourselves to do, you know? And not that there's anything wrong with reaching for the medicine cabinet, but I'm just here to say, guys, how many times do we miss what God wants to do because we're so concerned by the way other things happen and the normal part of life? So I want to encourage you, pray and believe that God can heal. The Bible says in James 5, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let him pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and he will lift them up. God is a God who heals today. I went on a missionary trip as a 16-year-old kid. I went to a little place called Bonaire. You know where that is? Probably not. So you know where Venezuela is in South America? North of Venezuela, there's the ABC Islands. There's Aruba. You've heard that one because of the Beach Boys. You got Aruba, and then Bonaire is B, C is Curacao. Those are the three islands. They're the Dutch Antilles, actually, if you look at it on the map. And I went there as a 16-year-old kid. I'd never been out of South Dakota before. I was born and raised in South Dakota. So that was a change, going to a country where they kind of spoke a Spanish-French mixture of their language. And so because I didn't really know how to speak the language, I was kind of reliant on people who could translate for us. And I remember we went out and we passed out tracts. We went door to door inviting people to these evangelistic meetings every day. And I remember going to one house and stepping on the green lawn, and the whole lawn ran away because they were all little critters. You know, they're all little geckos. They're just whoosh, the whole lawn moved and ran. I'm like, well, that was interesting, you know. I never saw cockroaches that big in my life till I went there. And they were big and they were huge. And the first day, everybody was scared of the cockroaches. By the sixth day, we were sitting on things, looking up. The cockroaches were hanging above us. We're like, eh, that's just the way life is. Amazing how things happen. And I remember going to these meetings every night, and they were singing songs and they were worshiping. And can I tell you, even though I didn't speak the language, when the worship of God was happening, I was a part of it. I didn't know what they were singing, but I knew who they were singing to. And something sweet just drew me in to that moment. I began to worship. And I remember they had us come up and pray for these people who had needs every night. And I came up, and I was up there praying, and this lady came up, and she pointed at herself, and she was up there to ask for prayer and pointed to her ears. And so I'm like, okay. So I had two girls that were with me on the trip, and I asked them, well, come pray with me. Come pray for this lady. And so we all laid our hands, the girls laid her hands on her ears, and we began to pray. And halfway through the prayer, she began to scream. And I'm like, oh no, I did something wrong. You know, I'm like, I'm so sorry. What's going on? And she motioned for a translator to come over, and he came over and he began to talk to her. And he said to me, he said, she has never heard before in her life, and now God has just opened up her ears and she can hear. And can I tell you, I wasn't a pastor, you know, I wasn't a missionary, I was a 16-year-old kid who believed that God could heal, who laid his hands on someone like I had 1,000 times before, and prayed, and I saw God do something instantaneous and miraculous in that moment. And guys, can I tell you, you don't have to be a pastor to lay hands on someone to see God do something instantaneous and life-changing and miraculous. You just have to be a person that's being obedient to the Lord. Just pray. I tell you what, at our church, in the 30 years that we pastored, we prayed for a lot of people. I remember we prayed for this lady, and the next, she had cancer. She had spots on her lungs. We prayed for her. She went back to the doctor. The spots were gone. There's no cancer. They couldn't find anything. They looked really hard to find it because it was there. We prayed. We were having service one Sunday in Payette, and there was an elderly gentleman, and his name was Raphael. Raphael came with his son, and they were worshiping God. And during the service, so I was in the front row worshiping. During the service, Raphael collapsed onto the ground. And so I have an usher come up to me and say, Pastor, Raphael fell. He's not moving. We've called an ambulance. We just thought you should know. Now, can I tell you, they don't train you for that. Like, what am I supposed to do now? So the musicians, they all stopped, and they're all looking at me. Everybody's looking at me like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I get up there, and I said, I tell everybody what happened. Raphael's collapsed. He's not moving. And I have a nurse who was behind him, and she was looking at him, and she's looking at me, and she's doing this. Okay? That's not what you want to see. So I'm like, guys, if I know anything, I know we need to pray. So the ambulance is on its way, but before they get here, we're going to pause and we're going to pray. And we began to pray for him. And as soon as we said amen, he coughed. He moved. Within a few minutes, he was sitting up in his chair. And the ambulance came and got him, put him on the stretcher and told him out. And I told, and everybody's looking at me. After all that happens, everybody looks at me again. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if God healed someone or God raised somebody from the dead, but I know we just were witnesses to the amazing power of our living God. Guys, there is nothing God can't do. I got a call one time with a student who was being pulled behind a truck in a sled at 50 miles an hour, and they turned, and the rope broke, and he went full 50 miles an hour into a pole on a sled. And the doctor called, the family called and said, Pastor Joel, could you come? It's not looking good for our son. We don't know what's going to happen to him. And so I went up to the hospital, and this was before COVID and all the procedures that we had. I'll just say that today, so you couldn't do this today. But I went up to the hospital, and my philosophy was, as a pastor, if I look like I'm supposed to be there, they'll let me in. Right? So if you just walk in and you act, actually, if you frown a little bit when you walk in, pretty much everyone will leave you alone and say, go ahead and go in. That's what I did. So I frowned a little bit. I walked in, and I knew kind of where he was in emergency. And I walked back there, and I'm expecting this kid to be surrounded by doctors, surrounded by his family. And I get back there, and he's all by himself. I'm like, well, that's weird. There's nobody here but me. Well, since I'm here, I'm going to pray for him. So I laid hands on him, and I prayed for him, and nothing happened. I walked out, and I said, I got to find the family. They got to be around here somewhere. And when I walked out, and I just sat with the family, talked with them for a while, and then the doctor comes in, and he goes, I don't know what's happened, but something has changed in him. He's doing so much better now than he was. We think we're going to take him and move him to our room. I'm like, and within 3 days, this young guy who was on a death watch list when I got there, within 3 days, he was back out of the hospital. Why? Because our God is a God who heals. Amen. Guys, there's nothing too difficult for God. If you're sick and afflicted, I'm here to tell you today, God is a God who heals. And he still does it today. And I want to encourage you. I'm telling you those stories because I want to build your faith up to believe that God is the God who heals. Number three, the third thing I want you to see is our God is a God who delivers. Verse 4 says this, he redeems your life from destruction. To redeem means to rescue from danger or times of trouble. Destruction actually means death itself. There's a story in Daniel about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were told to bow before the king statue, and they didn't do that. And Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he said, if you don't bow before, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they wouldn't bow to them. This is their answer, by the way. This is what they said. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, if we are thrown into blazing furnace, our God who we serve is able to save us from your power. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your God or worship the golden statue that you've set up. Our God is a God who delivers. They were so mad, they stoked the fire so hot that the guys who threw them in died. The fire came out and got them. But as the king was looking for these three men to die, he looked into the furnace, and there are four men in there, one like the Son of God, standing in the midst of the furnace. And he yelled inside the furnace, said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're still alive, come out. And they stepped out of that furnace. And I don't know about you, if you go camping, if you're by that campfire, you smell like a campfire, right? So I, you know, don't wear your good clothes when you're camping because you're just going to smell like a campfire. They stepped out of that fiery furnace. Not a hair of their body was singed. And the scripture tells us they didn't even smell like smoke because our God is a God who delivers. Now you say, that's good for them, but I've never been in a fiery furnace. I don't plan to be. Can I tell you guys something? That your God is a God who delivers you? How many times in your life can you think back and recognize that if it wasn't for God's hand on you, you wouldn't be here today? There's quite a few times, right? I grew up on a farm. I have six brothers, so I had six people to tell me what to do. And my parents, and then my sister, who wasn't around most of the time. I was at the farm. She was already gone. But I had six brothers, and we worked a lot on the farm. We had a huge shed, which we had is about 2-3 stories tall, the shed that we had. And we stacked it all the way to the top with bales, straw bales. And I would love to climb on the outside of that all the way to the top as a kid. And what was more fun that I found out, because we had some of the straw bales that had broken at the bottom, I could jump from the top all the way down to the bottom. Now, if your kids today are watching, that's a bad idea, okay? Because what I didn't tell you is about 8 feet away from that, stack of bales was a fence, a metal fence. And I crawled all the way up. There's something cool about the sense of falling, the way it makes you feel. I know it makes me like really crazy. But there's something cool about the way that feels when you're falling. And I went, oh, it's so cool. And I went all the way up. I did it again. And the second time I did it, I noticed that there was a pitchfork in the stack of a straw that I was jumping in. Not only was it not only was there an iron gate there, but there was a pitchfork as well. And I decided to stop doing that at that point. I wasn't that dumb, you know. I was a little dumb, but not that dumb. Can I tell you, if it wasn't for God's hand on me, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. My brother John and I, we were riding a little tractor. I was probably 8 years old when I was driving a tractor, okay? That's not bad parenting. That's using what you have as a farmer. And I remember my brother was six, and we're riding on a tractor together. And he decides he wants to drive the tractor because he's old enough, because he's already six. And he pulls on it. So these are a little older than John and Luke, by the way. Just a little bit. Can you imagine those guys driving a tractor? They'd want to, by the way. Okay. And John, he pulled the steering wheel over. Now, I've got a tractor pulling a fully loaded manure spreader. And he turns it. And next thing you know, we're in the ditch. And coming up to a culvert with a nice big metal rod on it. And I take it and I turn it as hard as I can. And we pop back up on the road before we hit that culvert. And neither one of us told our parents. You'd be surprised what your kids have done that they've never told you about. Like I had there was no way that we could have gotten out of that situation. There's absolutely no way without rolling it because of the weight that was on the back of that tractor. But God protected us. How many times has God protected you? How many times can you testify that God is the God who delivered me? Whenever you think, oh, that was close, oh, that was lucky, whew, that could have been bad, I want you to know your God is the God who delivers you. And that's who he is. Be thankful for that. Number four, our God is a God who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns us or encircles us with these things. The word actually in Hebrew, crowned, means encircle, which makes sense because that's what crowns are. They're like a circle, right? The scripture tells us that God encircles us with his loving kindness. In other words, God surrounds us with his love. You can never go outside the love of God. God is described in this 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It says, beloved, love is of God, and everyone who loves is known of God, everyone who loves God is known of him, and God is love, is what it says in verse 8. We know that God is love. That's the character of who he is. And theologically, that love is pictured like this. It's the Father loving the Son loving the Holy Spirit loving the Father. The three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loving each other in that oneness and that unity of what God is. That's why God is love. And that same love God wants to encircle you with his loving kindness every day. God loves you. Romans 5:8 says that God commanded or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when you didn't love God, he still loved you. When you weren't a part of his family, God still loved you. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he directed his love towards you. He commanded his love towards you. He encircled you with his love. And not only that, the scripture says he doesn't just encircle us with his love, but he encircles us with his mercies. His mercy. I love that picture of God's mercy, which is compassion mixed with kindness surrounding us. That mercy surrounds us every day. That's why the scripture tells us that his mercies are new every morning, because they surround us. If you really see God as a God who loves you and a God who's a God who's merciful towards you, then you realize that, you know what? I always want to run back to him, even when I fall, even when I do not what's right, because my God is a God who loves me and my God is a God who has encircled me with his mercy, that I can trust in that. Guys, you can trust in the mercy of the God that you serve. You don't have to say, he can't forgive me. I hate it when people say God can't. Last time I checked, that word's not in God's dictionary. Because if God can't, then he's not God, right? He's either all-powerful or he's not. And I think the scripture declares that's who God is. He is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's the God who can. And God says, I have mercy enough for you, and I have love enough for you, and you can be forgiven, and you can be whole. His love and mercy encircles us. And lastly, the last thing, he satisfies. Verse 5 says, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, when I think of my mouth being satisfied, there's only one holiday that I can think about, and that's Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving is the day where you can eat more than you should ever eat in your lifetime in a 12-hour period, right? We don't usually have dessert at our house, but on Thanksgiving, we got like 7 desserts waiting for us after we eat a meal that's too big for us. One of my favorite things to eat, COVID kind of changed my taste, so I can't do it anymore, but I love the pumpkin cheesecake from Costco. You ever had that? It should be illegal. It is so good. It's so good. So we have a pumpkin pie, we have pumpkin cheesecake, and we make all, you know, different kinds of fruit pies and pudding pies, and you name it, we had all there. And so we eat all this food. Tanda, by the way, makes the best stuffing for any bird that you could ever imagine. I could eat just a bucket of that. Just give me a bucket. That should be a serving size on Thanksgiving. It probably is at Thanksgiving, right? Who satisfies my mouth with good things. God is a God who will satisfy you like nothing else in this world. This world is like drinking a cup of sand. It promises you fulfillment. It promises it'll quench your thirst. It promises you everything's going to be okay. But if you drink sand, you are not satisfied. You are far from satisfied. But our God is a God who satisfies. He brings life to you. Satisfaction the world cannot give is something only God can give. Isaiah 58 says this, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring a wholeness to your life. He wants to bring a satisfaction to your life that the world can never give. The only way you have that satisfaction is by knowing and serving Jesus. The only way you have true satisfaction in life is by knowing and serving him. And so I want to encourage you, if you have that dissatisfied feeling in your heart, life's not quite right, can I tell you the only way you can find that is by knowing and serving Jesus today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have Joey come in closing today. And we want to just pray for you just for a few minutes today. I know we've had a season of prayer, and I'm going to invite the pastors to come up in just a moment to join us to pray. But all the good things that you can remember, God's done this for me. God's been a God who has healed me. God has been a God that's forgiven me. He's encircled me with his love. He's satisfied my heart. God's done all these great things for me. I think we need to pause for a moment and just pray. If you're here today and you need to be forgiven, man, today's the day. The scripture says this, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't carry the weight of being unforgiven around anymore when God's forgiveness is freely available for you to receive today. Today's the day. Be forgiven today. If you need that, we want you to come forward in just a moment to pray with us. Maybe you're here today and you've had an ailment, a physical issue in your life that you just can't shake. Can I just tell you, our God is a God who heals. If we'll be obedient, we'll pray. I believe God can do some amazing things in your life, that today can be one of those days, God, where you can testify, God did wondrous things in my life today. Because our God's a God who heals. I want to encourage you today, God's here to meet you where you are. Can I just have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts today. Father, if there's a need in our lives that we need to address, Father, I pray that you would begin to prompt us in our spirit. Lord, if we need to be forgiven, Father, if we've never been able to forgive ourselves, we've never been able to forgive someone else who has hurt us and mistreated us, God, that today would be the day that we'd be forgiven. Today, the day would be the day that we're free. Father, we found life in Jesus today. We find the satisfaction that the world claims they can give, but we know only Jesus can. And God, if there's someone here today that needs to be healed, Father, I pray that you would now begin to prompt them that today's their moment. Father, they can be prayed for. And Lord, their life can be changed from this day forward. Today's the day you can do a wondrous thing in them. So Lord, we lift this up to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the pastors to come back up again, Pastor Chase and John and Wendy. And if you would like to pray, we're just going to have just a few moments where we're going to give you the opportunity to stand up and to come and just have us lay hands and believe God one more time. Let's believe God one more time and see what amazing things he can do today. Praise God.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more, you can visit us at engageboise.com. Have an amazing day.